So I started my journey, worth mentioning, I started my journey as a CISO in Israel's largest defense IT company. And when you're like building a program of how to protect the most critical assets that you have, and you're facing basically nation state adversaries, and you're watching the battle yourself, you understand, hey, this is like a whole new level of battlefield, right? You have the air, the ground, military, and so on. This is a whole new like cyberspace arena, where if you understand what you're doing and you're seeing how offensive an approach our adversaries are attacking you, and you're putting the right security controls in place, and you're able to actually stop an attack, which brings the entire company to the ground, that is like super fulfilling, right? I mean, this is the essence of why we are here.
Oded Blattman, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's really great to be here. Looking forward.
Oded, what a career. I mean, what a journey. I mean, I'm getting overwhelmed just looking not only at the places you've been at, but the positions, the breadth of experience from coming in, you know, and I guess more entry levels to then being entrepreneur and then diving into CISO and CIO roles in some of the most fascinating, perhaps challenging, but then innovative and futuristic areas in so many different disciplines. So we're going to have a lot of fun in these 20 minutes. I'm super excited. And I have to ask you, you know, who are you? How, you know, when you think of Oded, you know, and you're painting this picture, who's Oded?
So I'm just a regular Israeli entrepreneur, father of three, who really had I've been lucky to work in a couple of different industries and like cherry picking my experience from defense, finance, and all over the place. And came with, I think, a very vast knowledge and experience around cybersecurity and business-oriented and the conjunction between them. So that's a little bit about me. That's it.
When does cyber come into your path? So is this already from day zero, or when do you start integrating cybersecurity as a prime factor within your career journey?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. Well, actually, I started my way as a developer and then moving to the IT world and then doing kind of international IT project at the time where it wasn't cyber per se. It was like security. Now it's branded as a cyber, right? And not many know what's the difference between security and cyber. Maybe marketing does. So I actually started my way in international projects. Very large scale nationwide IT project where all of a sudden the requirement for security came along. And now it's not enough just to have a very unique, innovative infrastructure, but it also has to be secure. Moving fast forward, I understood that more and more customers, and again, I grew up in the defense industry, more and more customers. Defense are usually the spearheading security, ask for security more and more and talked about threats and what are the risks. And all of a sudden it became a really big thing. And when you're starting to combat and do offensive security yourself, you understand that, wow, this is super important. It's such a vast area of technology where you actually got to understand both code, right? How you're protecting your code, how you're protecting your infrastructure, and how you understand adversaries, and how do you build a whole security program out of it. Now, this is a lot of moving parts, so it has to come to a holistic approach. How do you like give a protection and security umbrella on the infrastructure and the product, basically, that you're offering your customers? So this is what, like how I started. It came from a requirement, then realizing, hey, there's a new thing here that we got to protect, not only provide code and infrastructure, but they got to be also secure. And I'm talking about like 15 years ago, if I was younger, taller, with hair.
Now, Oded, your eyes are lighting up. as you're talking about this. I can see it, literally. Why? What's so interesting about this intersection?
So I started my journey, worth mentioning, I started my journey as a CISO in Israel's largest defense IT company. And when you're like building a program of how to protect the most critical assets that you have, and you're facing basically nation state adversaries, and you're watching the battle yourself, you understand, hey, this is like a whole new level of battlefield, right? You have the air, the ground, military, and so on. This is a whole new like cyberspace arena, where if you understand what you're doing and you're seeing how offensive an approach our adversaries are attacking you, and you're putting the right security controls in place, and you're able to actually stop an attack, which brings the entire company to the ground, that is like super fulfilling, right? I mean, this is the essence of why we are here. We are here, security folks, we are here to protect the company, to protect the business, to protect, you know, the most important assets, whether it's IP and obviously customers' data and intellectual property and all of those. So you're working a lot, you're putting a lot of defense and security controls in place. You're always thinking one step ahead of the adversary, or what can go wrong. You gotta always be on top-notch technology, understand what are the attack vectors possible, imagine like all the scenarios possible, put the right security controls and mitigating controls and compensating controls, and manage this risk. And when you see this entire operations from code, from cloud, product, development, cooperate, insider threat, there's so many elements to building a good security program. At the end, when you see adversaries are just cannot enter your company, and you are enabler to the business, basically, you're enabling the business to do what it needs to do, whether it's sell, bring customers, protect whatever assets, and the businesses keep on going while you're like protecting with your own body, you know, against all adversaries. That's an amazing feeling of achievement. So this is like, you know, what's driving me up. And I started my way in a defense company where we actually built a whole new security program with Security Operations Center, which was at the time the best, I think, in the world. And we faced with, you know, incident response to attacks that we cannot detail here, but you can just let your imagination go. Things that we saw, identified, did forensics, and basically took apart all the attack vectors and put things in place to protect them, cyber intelligence. We did a lot of research and development around cybersecurity from the time that AI was only a buzzword and machine learning maybe was the best data analytics at the time, right? Doing certifications for military grade. Then I moved like to a whole new area from a defense on-prem to an on-cloud product area, which has its own unique challenges. And basically, I worked at a company called Click Software, where the challenge was how to put a good security program in order to do the business objective, which is to get acquired. And indeed, after a year and so, we got acquired by Salesforce.com. And when you're a part of this amazing, you know, giant in security, you are really seeing how enterprises, large scale, global scale companies are managing security at scale. I mean, this is a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different technology, a whole new paradigm. But how do you like protect cloud assets, DevOps teams, production teams? It's a whole new concept that you have to like shift your mind from on-prem to cloud. And DevSecOps comes in play, Kubernetes at the time, security, you know, end-to-end security is a challenge. Moving from a cloud company after we did the acquisition, we got acquired by Salesforce.com, which I was there another year. And I moved to Israel's largest bank, Bank Hapoalim, where I was their CISO. And over there, you basically are learning the new regulation around financial industries. When you're working in financial industries, all of a sudden, everyone, you know, wants to attack you. Everyone wants to get your funds, right? So over there, you're learning a new industry of financial industry. Fast forward, you know, when I got the call from our CEO who said, hey, I have a company called Fireblocks. We are all security top-notch guys knowing, but I want someone who can take this company to a military grade. We are a cloud product company and we're in the financial industry. And it seems like you have the all three holy grails. How about being our CIO and CISO? I simply jumped on this and it's a great roller coaster and fun ever since. Fireblocks, for those who don't know what Fireblocks is doing, Fireblocks is in the crypto and blockchain technology. Basically, it's a tech company providing platform for secure storage, transfer of digital assets over the blockchain. It's a product company. I think the most amazing one with super talented engineering, security, IT, and guys who are, by the way, all very security aware. Starting from the founders, basically most of the people here are very security savvy. So we started in cybersecurity, moving to a platform company. And if you think about this, so when you're in the financial industry over blockchain, which is a whole new technology, the threats are different or even more complicated. Because even if you think that you know how to protect like the cybersecurity space, right? There's a lot of companies who protect their cybersecurity space. Now, all of a sudden you have a new element of, hey, how do you secure a blockchain or crypto company? You have to learn a whole new technologies around Web3, blockchains, things that are super, super interesting.
A whole new attack vector that you're opening up.
A whole new attack vector, and it's open. And in some areas, it's basically a green field. You have to understand, first of all, I think you have to understand that you don't understand, right? And then you have to learn. I mean, I thought I knew everything or a lot, right? When you're coming here, you're talking to the founders, you're talking to some of the people here who actually built some of the cryptography, you realize, hey, you know, I got a lot to learn, which is great fun. So how do you protect like your private key, right? And there's a whole new technologies that were invented in Fireblocks, all about the MPC or CMP technologies, how you're dividing your private key in order, and how do you transactions without bringing them all to a place, making it jeopardized to attacks. How do you do a transfer of funds over the blockchain, okay, where you got to mitigate insider threat mistakes, because unlike other medias in the blockchain, if you put something on the blockchain, it's irreversible. Once it's there, you put a transaction, you put the funds over digital assets, you cannot take it back. So you better know what you're doing. You better also know that it's you. Opening brackets, insider threat is a big thing over there. So there's so many interesting things around blockchain security, which is on top of your cybersecurity per se, which is a great fun and challenge. I think that we are having an amazing security team here at Fireblocks, where we are approaching cybersecurity in like different vectors. First, for example, the DevSecOps. Okay, we got to make sure that our product is free of vulnerabilities, right? We're a product company. So like every company, we've got to make sure that our development environment, our code, our cloud infrastructure are all free of vulnerabilities. The architecture is secured by designs, best practices, but that's not enough. We got to be much more, you know, an offensive approach. It's an area where, you know, you cannot fail, right? So you got to make sure that you are all the time sharp, red teaming, offensive, bug bounty. We got to make sure that, you know, there is no room for mistakes here. We are responsible for a lot of transactions, and you know, Fireblocks has moved like $4 trillion in the last couple of years.
Wow.
It's crazy amount.
Now, Oded, you said something that really, really interested me. What you said before was that early on you understood and you perceived your role as on one hand a protector of the organization, right? But then you translated it to being an enabler. And what I heard from you is that you effectively see your role as enabling the company to just do what it needs to do. Because if you didn't exist, then the company would very quickly get compromised and nothing else would matter. The product wouldn't matter, the funds in the bank won't matter, And so you effectively don't only see yourself as a protector, but you actually see yourself as now an enabler for just everybody else to actually do their job.
So being an enabler is, and just to put it on the ground and not keep it amorphic, means that you have to understand that with all due respect to security, the business got to exist, right? And you cannot be like, I've seen a couple of CISOs and mentored for some of them, you know, coming with approaches like my way or the highway, okay? That wouldn't scale, okay? And that's not the right approach. You have to understand that the business have to exist and the security got to go side by side and have the right balance between security and operations, right? Making sure that the business is running. And this means that you got to manage the risk in a very smart way. Not all the time as a CISO, you will get what you want. Okay. Sometimes you will have a risk and it's a negotiation between the engineering and security team. And you got to have this delicate balance, how you're putting the right security controls in different place. And sometimes you will need compensating controls to watch over and monitor the risk while it's being closed. Okay. Because sometimes the risk just takes time to close. So this is one thing. On the other hand, you have to understand that if you're doing a good security, the customers will appreciate it. Meaning customers cherish trust. And if your customers will understand that you're doing the best that you can and you're best in class in security, they will feel more comfort in signing contracts with you. So as part of the selling of new contracts or bringing new customers, security can play a major role. We're participating and I'm talking to CISO customers and prospects. And once they understand what are the great security controls that we have here, and we're standing in the highest regulations possible, much more than in the market. We have like an internal security operation system, operation center that we have here in Fireblocks, which others either don't have or they're not coming to this military grade security operation monitoring capability. Once customers hear that, they feel more comfortable or signing contracts with us and putting their funds, or basically path to funds, within Fireblocks. So being an enabler means that you have to understand where you can contribute to bringing new customers and business. Maybe, by the way, over time, productize some of your capabilities that are being developed in-house and monetize it, right? And on the other hand, not stopping development or features that were promised to customers and finding the right balance between engineering and security. This is a thin line, which is very interesting. It's kind of an art, right? And it takes a lot of things and how to get there, from putting controls in the code and monitoring and code reviews and a lot of SDLC and other 3-4 letters that we'll not get into right now. But it's a hard work. But basically, in the essence, you got to understand that it's a balance between the business objectives and security and finding this sweet spot where everything is still secure, but you're enabling the business to run and grow as much as it can. And this, by the way, also goes through regulations and understanding, you know, if you're before IPO or got to understand the highest certifications as cryptocurrencies, which are Fireblocks is standing, being always ahead of the curve and being a leader in this space is super important.
It's so fascinating. So have you seen a shift in the perception of this role, its importance, its relevancy, navigating between the thin line of security and operations and how do you do this artistic dance and the trade-offs? Have you, even if you look at the last decade, what have you seen?
I've seen a couple of things. I think that there is even the terminology CISO has kind of a different variant, right? So there are CISOs which are like governance style, making sure that, you know, the company is working according to the policies, that the documentation is in place, certificates. And then there is those who are more technology oriented, are very deep into the development coding process, in the corporate security, making sure that the SaaS are indeed hardened, going into the details, going into the systems, verifying, and there are technology leaders in what they are doing. So it's a very balanced. Now, the shift that I see is more and more companies And by the way, the regulation, even in the states, are very supportive of this. If you look at the SEC, regulations in the states, they are actually pushing forward for CISO to sit around the leadership table in companies. This is because they're emphasizing the importance of cybersecurity and responsibility, given not only the CEO, but also the board members, to be aware, be accountable, and responsible for CISOs. Now, this adds a whole new layer where CISO has to talk in a language of business. Not only security, not only controls, and we touched this a moment ago, they have to understand the business aspects, enable the business, and that's a good reason why they need to stand or sit around the leadership table. Now, if we're looking into the future for a second, one of the roles of CISO is to be one step ahead of the curve. And that means that you have to understand and first of all, participate, you know, in startups, in open source communities, got to adopt new technologies, have to be much more efficient because, you know, security is a spend. So you got to do a lot more with the existing headcount or resources that you have. So if we're looking, for example, on the future trends, I think that it's important for CISO to realize that there is a whole new attack vectors coming in. And if we just take AI, for example, okay? We had like generation one of phishing attack, right? So we have like a spear phishing, emails, links, impersonating here, impersonating there. Okay, we know. But we have to realize that deepfake and AI technologies are on the rise. And all of a sudden, we got to prepare organization, raise the awareness, find technologies that if you know like phishing attack version 2 is coming in play, you got to be ready for that. Okay, and the CISO, you have to understand, hey, this is the next gen. How do I put controls in place? How do I make sure that my users are aware? How do we practice? What do we do? How do we know that, you know, if I block CISO has a long hair all of a sudden, that might be a false image. Or something like this. So we're talking about the next generation in AI. We're talking about security operations center, for example. All of the autonomous SOC and putting bots and utilizing AI for your efficiency, for the CISO efficiency to detect much faster security alerts, analyze them in your security operations center, automate all the response of like the tier one analyst if you have a security operations center in place. This is something that is on the rise, and a lot of companies and startups are putting efforts on finding how can we make the security operations center much more autonomous and automatic using those same technologies, but now in favor of protection and not attack. Insider threat is a big thing. Now, it was always around. It's not new, but when you're working in a crypto or blockchain company, and financial industry, obviously. Insider threat is a big issue. I mean, how do you identify them? How do you put the relevant guardrails in place? In crypto, if you're putting the money on the chain, on the blockchain, it's irreversible. So insider threat is something that you have to detect. Smart contracts, pieces of code that are on-chain and responsible for the transactions or doing some operation with the transactions is something that is unique to blockchain, and you have to know how to find vulnerabilities otherwise they might drain your wallets from funds. So there is a lot of issues around the future of cybersecurity, and it's always developing, right? This is what is part of the fun. It's always there. You can see the adversaries are learning themselves how to attack different attack vectors. And if I have a minute, I can show you or can bring you an example where we saw a couple of adversaries that we are following, and we are keeping our eyes open all the time for new adversaries and their attack vectors. And you actually saw them putting payloads on, for example, Windows operating systems. And after a couple of months, they realized that it's not the right operating system. They came back with a whole new payloads adjusted for Macs, okay, iOS operating systems. And due to the fact that we are just knew their attack vectors and their threat operating how they're actually doing those attacks and the TTPs, we actually stopped them way before they even reached our premises. So it's a whole new cat and mouse vector. So you just got to be ahead of the curve all the time. And it's a great area to be first with technology in business and being really valuable to the company that you're at.
And it sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, indeed.
And I think that what's awesome is that it's coming from an engineering background and developing background to business and entrepreneur, right? You were CEO of companies. I mean, you were responsible, not just for, and sure, they were also in the cybersecurity domain, but ultimately you were responsible for the bottom line, for the for financial projections. So you understand ultimately that it does come down to, you have to progress and move forward and develop the right products and business, but then having the experience of going to the defense industry and the financial industry and click software and then real banking and then new banking. And so it really feels like you're living through these incredible transformations that we're in. And like you mentioned, you know, we're approaching a future in which there's so many new attack vectors that require you to play an even faster, more creative cat and mouse game. And not just from a software perspective, but from the employee behavior perspective, like in the context of deepfakes, right? There's a lot of human engagement that's going to take place in this next phase of AI and phishing. And we're all here to have fun and to do something really meaningful. So thank you for this time, Oded. This was just awesome.
Thank you very much. I had a blast. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.